If you had asked me 8 years ago, when I was looking for schools, where I would be at this point in my life right now, the last place on earth I would have imagined myself is right here. And that's not just because I'm speaking in chapel or I'm still here at Union University close by, but that's because at 25, Jackson, Tennessee is the last city on earth I thought that I would be living in. And I am definitely not living the life that I planned for myself. I grew up, as Suzanne said, north of Seattle in Washington State. And I remember my junior year of high school sitting down with my parents and talking about what I had planned for my life and where I thought God wanted me to be and where I would go to college. And what I had thought the Lord would have for me, I thought I would be a nurse. I thought at this point I would be living overseas, either working with the United Nations High Commission for Refugees or working with a missions organization somewhere in another country. And so as I was looking at schools, I looked at the big map of the United States we had on our wall, and I took my finger and I drew right across the middle a big line right across the middle of the states. And I said, all right, I'm a cold weather girl. I love the snow, I love the rain, and I love ethnic diversity. So let's not even look south of this line, because I'm not going anywhere in the southern part of the United States for college. Well, Tennessee is a bit below that line. My dad likes to say somebody must have bumped me when I was drawing my line. But through some really fun things and some interesting twists and circumstances, God brought me here to Union University. And that was the first moment that God took my life and twisted it and changed it from the life that I had planned for myself. And when I first got down here, the culture in the South is drastically different from the culture in the Northwest. And it's not bad different, it was just extremely different. And so I struggled those first couple of months. I had great roommates, loved my classes, but it was a tough transition for me. And during that time, I spent a lot of time with God, just because I was like, Lord, you understand me, even if I feel that no one else around me doesn't. So he was constantly filling me up. And at that point, I started to look for a place to get involved somewhere in the community and serve, even though I didn't know exactly what he had planned for me at that point. And I can remember sitting as a freshman in chapel thinking, and please, if you live here, don't take this personally. This is just where I was at the time. Who in their right mind stays and lives in Jackson, Tennessee? There are no mountains. There is no ocean. I can't go hiking here, and it's hot. Why would you live here? And you need to know that because you need to see how far God has taken me to where I am now. So as I began to look for a place to get involved, I heard about a group of students who went down to apartment complexes and housing projects in this area. And I didn't know they still existed. I thought they existed in the movies, but they're here. And I went down there and I was playing ball with a little kid, and he was probably 7 or 8, little African-American kid, cute as a button. And we were tossing the ball back and forth and back and forth. He said, so you coming back next week? And I said, yeah, I'll be here next week. Same time, same place. He said, cool. Kept throwing the ball back and forth. He said, so why you come anyway? And I said, well, do you know about Jesus? And he caught the ball and he held it and he stopped and he looked up and he said, Jesus, what's that? And for all that little kid, that little boy knew, Jesus could have been a bar of soap or a new restaurant on the corner. He didn't even know Jesus was a who. And it was at that moment that God took my heart and began growing it for a passion for the urban and inner city kids of Jackson. And from there, I heard about a tutoring ministry you could get involved in, 1 hour a week, working with little urban kids. And I thought, great, I can do 1 hour a week, no problem. So I had a little girl, Jasmine, and my heart just began to be drawn more and more toward her and toward that ministry. So by the time my sophomore year rolled around, I was teaching Spanish in the language lab, and I was volunteering 10 to 12 hours a week with these inner city kids. And I went to the church that I was working with that fall and said, look, I'm putting in a lot of hours. I'm teaching Spanish in the language lab. I really can't keep giving this much time. So I just wanted to let you know when I come back for spring semester, won't be around as much. And right before I left for Christmas, they said, well, what if we put you on like part-time hourly stuff, kind of as an intern, and you can keep doing this and quit teaching Spanish? And I thought, trip again. No thanks. I am going overseas. This is what God has planned for me, and this is where I'm going to continue. And by the time I came back from Christmas, God said, "Daughter, this is what I have for you. You need to stop teaching Spanish." So I took it part-time, and not long later, he changed my major. But I still thought I was going overseas. I thought my major was changed so that while I was here, I could keep pouring into these kids. And by the time my senior year hit, I was majoring in Christian Studies and International Studies. And I thought, you know, Jackson is a great little town. I am falling in love with this little city. It's great, but I am still out of here. Graduation day, and I am gone. Thanks, Lord, it's been a nice ride. And the elders came to me four times that fall to ask, from the church, the community church at which I worked, to ask if I would take the full-time position as Urban Ministries Coordinator upon graduation. And each time I said, "Thank you, I feel so honored that you would consider me for this position, and I love these kids. But this is not what God has for me, I'm going overseas." So the fifth time they came to me, I go, "Okay, Lord, I get it." And I really prayed through it and decided, all right, okay, this is what he has for me. I'll stay for a year. And that year was one of the toughest points for me. Because in all honesty, I thought that God had taken my dreams and smashed them against the wall. And I thought, you took away nursing, you took away going overseas, and you left me in Jackson, Tennessee. Do you really even love me? And I knew that wasn't biblical. And I knew that wasn't right, but that is how I felt. But I still had a passion for my kids. I still loved what I was doing, but that's honestly what I felt. And I had to really claim God's promises during that time. I thought I would never feel joy again. I thought, I'm where God called me, I'll never have joy. But, you know, the Lord is so sweet, and it says in his word that there's weeping for a night and for a time, but there's joy in the morning. And it talks about, for the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross. And so I knew that claiming God's promises, there would be joy again. And also just seeking him, and what do you have planned for my life? Okay, Lord, I give. I've thrown all my plans out the window. What do you want from me? And he said in Jeremiah 29:13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found for you. By you, and I will not remain hidden from you." And that was a sweet promise to claim during that time. And you know, the end of the year came, and I thought, great, a year, I did it. I spent my year in Jackson, I'm gone. And God said, "Oh, daughter, I have so much more planned for you than you could ever know. And you're going to be here another year." And that year wasn't as tough as the first. And at the end of that year, in May, the tornado hit Jackson, not the one that hit your Union. But it hit downtown Jackson. And not only did it hit on the square, but it also hit several of the neighborhoods that are where people live under the line of poverty. And a lot of the families with whom I work live there, a lot of my friends were there. And it's primarily an African-American community. I'm pretty close to whites, just to be honest with you. They got to know my car, and so the families with whom I worked, they knew I was a friend, I was fine, and but the family started to warm up when they got to know my car, and I got to be down there. So when the tornado hit, I was down there right away to check on my friends, to see how things were going. And through that, seeing the need, I was so privileged and blessed to be able to help coordinate a Red Cross aid station down there for that next week. And the last day, one of the families I knew came driving by in their car, and they threw on the brakes, and all these people, I was in the middle of a conversation with all these people, and they said, "Hey, Julie, guess what?" And I looked up, I said, "Oh, hey, what?" And they said, "You're in the paper today. Your picture's there." I said, "Nice, thanks." And they said, no, "We've bought up all the copies in our neighborhood, and we're giving them out to the neighbors, and we're telling them, look, this is Julie. And she's the one on the corner who's fed us all week. She's one of us." And it was at that moment that it hit me that Jackson is my community, and this is my home, and this is where the Lord has me. And you know, I may be gone in 2 years. He may say, okay, it's time to move on, just as I get comfortable here. God likes to do that. But this also may be where I stay until I'm 95 and pass away. And if that's what God has for me, that's okay. And these aren't the plans I had for my life. It never has Proverbs 16:9 that says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." Been so real to me. And the fun thing is, as God works on your heart and he changes you, when you are actively participating in a ministry, then he also grows that at the same time. So at the same time he was changing my heart, God was also changing the ministry with which I worked. And it started out my sophomore year. We had 10 little inner city kids for one afternoon a week. You know, I was putting in my hour a week. And by the time my senior year hit, we were working with about 25 kids, a couple afternoons a week, and pouring into their lives and their families. And all the while, I was learning so much more from them than they were learning from me, I know. And at that point, we had some 7th and 8th graders that we'd been working with, and we thought, drastic difference between a 1st grader and a 6th grader. We're going to start graduating the kids at 6th grade. One of the girls, Priscilla, who I'd been with for the last couple years, looked at me, she put her hand on her hip, and she stuck her foot out, and she goes, "Ms. Julie, you've been working with us for 4 years. Don't tell me you're going to ditch us now." And I said, "Oh, Priscilla, we're not going to ditch you, sweetheart." I said, "We're going to find a great place for you to go and plug in with people your own age." And she looked at me and she said, "I ain't going nowhere. This is my home. You better figure something out." So the group of us prayed and we looked around, and I talked to Jay Ridenour, who is the student of discipleship ministries at the time here. And we decided there really wasn't something in Jackson at that time for that age of kids. So we had a group and we thought, stopgap ministry for a year or two to take these kids with whom we've worked and move them along. And 3 years later, there are 55 kids coming, and we say it's like Young Life meets youth group with an urban twist. And that's what Chris is a part of. There are small group leaders who take a couple of kids and really invest in them. And the kids that first year got to name the ministry, which was really fun. And you should have heard some of the names, and of course some of them were vetoed right off. However, what they ended up with was someone goes, "Well, it's the crib. It's our hangout." They said, "This is home." And someone said, "But we're learning about Jesus. You got to put something spiritual in there." And they said, "Well, what if we just do the Jesus crib?" And over time, it got shortened to J crib. And from that, God has raised up J life, which is learning to live the Jesus life. For the kids in J-Crib who are passionate about reading the Bible for themselves, many for the first time ever, and are passionate about learning about Christ and sharing with their friends. And then during the summer, we also take our kids to Kids Across America, which is associated with Kennecott camps, for those of you who know where those are outside of Branson, Missouri, and that has really changed the life of so many of our kids. And it's the culmination of volunteers being faithful throughout the year, and then in the end taking them to camp and having the light bulb go on when the kids can leave where they are during the week and they can get away and they can see Christ. And God has taught me so much through our kids. One of the stories this year, we were getting ready to leave for camp, and we have this little boy named Leland. Leland just turned 10 and is a handful. And he was so excited because he was eligible for camp this year. You have to be 10 to attend. And we had some discipline problems with Leland, and he had his chances. And the last 2 months of tutoring, he stayed home because he was disturbing the rest of the kids and wasn't obeying the rules. And his tutor continued to meet with him outside of the time, but he couldn't be there with the rest of the kids. And I sat down with his mom a few months before camp and said, "Look, I don't know about taking Leland to camp. To be honest, I'm not sure I'm up for it. And I don't know if this is the year Leland should come. So why don't you just think about it, and you can call me if you think he should come." And she said, "Okay, sounds good." So she was reading through her packet, and I never heard from her. So the night before we left for camp, I called their house just to remind them that I would be gone for a week, and I'd be back. And the aunt answered the phone and said, "Well, we know you're gone for a week. You're taking Leland to camp." And I said, "Really?" And she said, "Don't tell me he can't go." She said, "His bags are packed and by the door." And I heard Leland in the background go, "Miss Julie said I can't come? What do you mean I can't go to camp?" And I just heard that panic in his voice. And I said, wait, hold on. Let me get off the phone, talk to the summer interns. I'll call back." And called back after I talked to them and we prayed through things. And see, that morning, a boy in the 10 to 12-year-old age bracket had called and couldn't come to camp. So we had one spot left for that age boy. And so Leland came to camp with us, and the third day he came running up to me. He said, "Shirley, guess what? Guess what I did last night?" And I was thinking, "Oh, I have no idea what your cabin did last night. Could be scary." And he said, "I asked Jesus into my heart, and he's staying there, and he's going to live there, and he's going to be there forever and ever. Isn't that great?" And I said, "Oh, Leland, that's awesome." And I gave him a hug, and we high-fived, and he went running off to do whatever sports activity was next. And I stopped. I went, "Okay, God, I get it. You are teaching me so much more through these kids than they could ever, ever learn through me." Another one of our eighth grade girls called me a couple weeks ago and said, "I'm doing my Bible study that they gave us at camp." She said, "It's our first in 10. I said, "Oh boy, what's the first in 10? I said, "Tell me about it." She said, "You know, you spend 10 minutes with God first thing in the morning." I said, "That's great, Danielle. What are you studying?" And she said, "Well, they give us a verse to read out of the Psalms, and I really like that." And she said, "It's a really sweet, sweet book, lots of poetry stuff. I don't get it all, but I like it." And then she said, "And then they tell you practical stuff, how to live." And we talked, and she called me last 2 weeks ago, I guess, and said, "Yeah, Miss Shirley, my first in 10 has been turning in my first in 20 and 30 and 40 and 50. And then I look at the clock and think, I'm going to be late for school." And I run out the door. And I thought, when was the last time I was in my Bible and so lost track of time that I looked up and went, "Oh, I'm going to be late," because I'd completely lost track of what was going on around me. It's a huge gift. My life has obviously drastically changed, and things that I planned have not come true, and yet I love my life, and it couldn't be any better, and I could not have asked for something better. You guys are sitting here with plans for your life. New freshmen just coming in may think, "I know where I'm going, I know what I'm going to do, and at the end, I'm going to move to this town, do this job in this state." And that may happen. God may have that for you. Sophomores, juniors, and seniors, you have those life plans, but I've seen your daytimers. I've seen your planners. If you're a senior, graduation's already written in. Most of you have your tests in. Everything that you've got planned for the entire semester is ready to go. You've got Rush, you've got Go Week, you've got Claymata, and then you have everything else with intramurals and sports in between. But I want to challenge you for a sec to think about what you have planned, because it is no mistake that you are here at Union University, and it is no mistake that God has placed Union University in Jackson, Tennessee. And there are two areas I want to touch on real fast before I conclude. The first is community. You have the Union community, which is like your Jerusalem. And I know we talk about Union being the bubble, and it kind of is, and Union being a grace-filled community. But this is where most of you live. This is where you spend a lot of your time. And this is where God has for you to encourage one another, exhort one another. And I know this may surprise you, but not everyone on Union's campus is a Christian. And this is a place that you can also be a witness and glorify God, showing him to others who may not know him and may be pretty skeptical about him. And the other way in which you can participate is Jackson and the community. That's like your Judea. And, you know, I think a lot of us confuse community ministry with community service. Most of us had to do community service to graduate. A lot of us have to do it to keep our scholarships or to participate in organizations here on campus. And that's good. But I think a lot of times we just check it off, think I got my hours in, that was good. I think sometimes we do community service out of duty and guilt. And that's not what community ministry is all about. Community ministry is about being passionate about the people that live in your community and wanting them to know Christ and see his glory. And that's what community ministry is. And you know, it's not always convenient. Sometimes you think, "Why did I commit to this? Okay, I'm going to be there because I said I'd be there." But you know, when you're doing what God calls you to do, no matter if you have a rough year like I did or not, then the blessing to others and the joy and what you learn will completely eclipse your inconvenience. If you love to play basketball, go play your pickup games here at Union, but take an hour a week to go to an urban hoop or work with a ministry like I do for an hour a week, shooting hoops with a bunch of guys or a bunch of girls. And if you love kids, if you want to be a teacher, great. Come help at a tutoring program or a tutoring ministry or a mentoring program. We have 80 kids on the waiting list for our first through sixth grade tutoring ministry. And I am not unique in Jackson. There are so many different ones that are in need of volunteers for that. If you love to go to Starbucks and Bubba's and hang out and talk, there are so many girls in this city who would love to go with you an hour a week and talk about their lives and be encouraged and sit back and chill and feel like an adult, whether they're from a regular youth group here in town or urban kids. And then, you know, if you look at your life and you think, I'm headed to Costa Rica, or I'm headed to Central America or South America when I'm finished, and you're planning and you're getting your Spanish down and everything, don't forget, we have a Hispanic ministry that is thriving and vibrant here in Jackson. Plug in here and now and get to know the culture. If you're passionate about that, get to know the people while you're here. My brother recently called me. He's a senior at Pepperdine University in Malibu, California, and he works with the richest of the rich kids. And he's a Young Life leader, and he works with screenwriters' kids, actors' kids, Mel Gibson's kids. He's in an area of that. But Joel said, you know, one of the kids that I'd been pouring into, Julie, recently became a Christian this summer at camp, and I got to pray with him. He said, and you know, I realized for the first time that there's that verse in Esther that says, and who knows but that you may have come to royal position for such a time as this. He said, we've talked in the dorms about what could God have us do someday that could be on the same plane as Esther. He said, and I realized where God has me now may be the thing that he had planned for me. And I could die tomorrow, but I've been faithful to that which he's called me to. And think about that as you're here and remember that. And just in closing, Go Trips are coming up. And they're global opportunities trips. Yes, we have trips that go all over the world. Please don't misunderstand me when I say this, because I am passionate about Christ's glory being spread around the globe. I get to lead Go Thailand this year. Such a privilege. So it's not that I don't think that people overseas need to hear about the Lord. But I would challenge you to look at the trips here in the States. I have heard so many times in the last year or two, students talking, say, where are you going on a Go trip? Person says, oh, well, I'm just going to Irving, or I'm only going to Memphis. As if their trip is less important or has less value than a trip that goes overseas. And please don't ever say that. It just hurts my heart and saddens me, because just like that little boy who I was playing ball with, he said, Jesus, what's that? That is prevalent in America, and people in your country need to hear about the Lord. And if you can't have a passion and be excited about sharing Christ with people in your community and with people in your city and your nation, then you cannot have a full passion and understanding of what God has for his kingdom in the world. So I just challenge you to look at the plans you have for yourself for this semester and see if that's what the Lord has for you, and see if that's what the Lord has for your life. And I want to close with a piece of a poem written by Beth Moore called The Life I Planned. Has someone seen the life I planned? It seems it's been misplaced. I've looked in every corner, and it's lost without a trace. I found one I don't recognize, things missing that were clear. Promises I'd hoped to keep and dreams I'd dreamed aren't here. Has someone seen the life I planned? Did it get thrown away? God took my hand from searching, and then I heard him say, child, your ears have never heard, your eyes have never seen. Eternal plans I have for you are more than you could dream. You long to walk by sight, but I'm teaching eyes to see. I know what I am doing. Till then, you must believe. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Let's pray. Lord, I praise you that each person in this room has been brought to Union University for a different reason and a different plan, God. And you have a perfect plan for what for them over these next few years, God, whether they're here for 6 more months or for 4 years, Lord. And I just ask, God, that as they seek you, that you would reveal to them where you would have them, Lord, and that they would be challenged and that they would open themselves up to maybe something different than they thought they would be doing. And Lord, I praise you once again for this morning and what you've done in my life in changing my heart and being faithful and not abandoning me even when I doubted you. In your name we pray, amen. You're dismissed.